we alternating words or syllables?
Podtacular.
344.
Griffball.
Reborn.
For
February
5th,
2013.
Yay!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and we are continuing our Griffball coverage with some of our fan favorites. We have the Griffball Hub in the house.
Woo! Yay!
Yay!
We have returning guest host, Goose Cheka.
Woo woo! Goose in the house.
What's up?
What's up, homie?
And we have I think this is actually your first time on the show, but we have Cal on the show tonight.
Hey, everybody. Wait, Halo Fest. Did you do a live one at Halo Fest?
It wasn't live.
Or
it was recorded.
Right? On that Sunday?
Yes, but it wasn't an official episode, as I recall. It was a special. But this is your first official episode.
Technicality.
It's your first official, unofficial Halo Podtacular.
Yes.
Cast.
Yes.
Okay.
It's as official as Podtacular gets.
Yes.
That is true. That is true. As official as unofficial can be.
Absolutely. It's right up there next to the 343 Sparkcast, just a little less official.
It's like a continuum of officialness.
Yeah.
Probably,
so you have
yes.
Sparkcast here, we have Major Nelson here, and Sparkcast here, and like the Modcast. And
I don't know, Rooster Teeth Podcast, kind of. I mean, they're not necessarily specifically Halo anymore.
Yeah, they're
mostly. I don't know if that counts.
They're mostly about dicks. So.
Or as Gavin puts it, knobs.
Knobs?
Knobs.
They're John Thomas's.
Yeah.
Did you see the, what was it, podcast 201, where they were talking, where Gavin was just talking about what to call girls' parts when he's, like, doing it?
Yes. Yes, her clunge. Stay away from her clunge. That makes me just, my skin crawl, like.
Make y'all clunge
it's
up.
It's like, Gavin, you're so stupid.
Oh, yeah, oh, Gavin.
He has his moment of brilliance, but other than that, it's just, it's hit or miss. It's really hit or miss.
Yep.
Ahead, so
yeah. I imagine after 200 podcasts, he gets trained to say stupid things because he gets a good reaction.
Probably.
I still remember when they used to have that little mini series where Bernie would ask people questions,
mm-hmm.
and he asked Gavin about U.S. history. That might have been my favorite one ever.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. Awesome. I wish they would do more of those because those were hysterical.
I don't think that they've just stopped doing it. I think it's just they do them whenever they think someone else may not be well-versed in maybe a hot topic item, and then they ask them about it.
I can't imagine that U.S. history is ever a hot topic item. They've tried so many things, and they've got so much going on that I'm not surprised. So, but no, great podcast. Shout out to the RT podcast as well. You know, they're our friends.
Yes, maybe we can give them a much-needed boost in listenership.
Yes, we'll give them the Podtacular bump.
Yeah.
Although I think everyone that listens to Podtacular already listens to them. So if there are the few of you that have not listened to the Rooster Teeth podcast, then you should go check it out.
Absolutely.
It's pretty funny. And they actually do the live stream. I believe it's only sponsors that can watch it though, right? That's every Tuesday at 8 Central Time.
Yes.
So that's fun to watch. And they always have the video up a week after.
Mm-hmm. And then once you get done with that, you can listen to the Griffball Hubcast, which is every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on our Twitch channel. Bing!
Very nice.
Nice plug.
Which is interesting because we normally record our podcast at 8 on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we don't live stream it, or we're not live streaming it currently. We're thinking about doing it.
You should. It's a lot of fun.
No, it's really cool to have that kind of audience interaction during the show.
Because then people remind you about stuff. Like, people remind me all the time about Griffballer of the Month, and I just forget. But they bring it up in the chat box, and it's nice, because then I look smart. Because people are reminding me to say stuff in the chat box.
Yeah, but some of the conversations that go on in that chat room can be interesting.
Have you met the Griffball community?
I'm saying that, yeah, I've met them. I'm a part of them. It's just the conversations that go in there is just, okay, interesting.
On Twitter today, myself, Taco Pizza Hunter, and Misplaced Yank had an entire Twitter conversation about Taco Pizza Hunter's pickle. Yep.
That doesn't seem too out of the norm.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's par for the course. So,
yeah.
It's friendly, it's welcoming, but it's a little bizarre. Just just warning people if you tune in. Completely harmless, but a little bit off in a good way, in a very good way.
Yeah. So, Cal, since this is the first time that you've officially been on Podtacular, this means that you get to run us through a little introduction of yourself. So, tell us how you got involved in the Halo community, what you do now, and whatever else you want to throw in there.
Let's see. I've been playing Halo since 2001, since the original Halo, when I bought an Xbox way back when. I really got into Halo when I went to college, met Goose, and we would stay up all night playing Halo 2 all the time. We actually won a local Slayer doubles tournament.
Yep, it was for our university.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And then when Griffball came out, you know, I've always been, we've been a fan of Rooster Teeth for years and saw Bernie posting about Griffball and all that. But we first really started playing Griffball when it got introduced to matchmaking in the spring of 2008. Then we went and signed up our Griffball team to play for their summer league at Griffball.com, the Rooster Teeth League. And
Summer 08,
yeah. Actually, the very first game we played in a Griffball league was against Green Team Texas, Texorcist's team.
Yep, Green Army.
They were also a rookie team that season.
Yeah.
Then from there, Goose and I got, well, Goose first got more involved with Griffball Hub, which, you know, they called the official Griffball fan site. And then I started running the league at Griffball Hub when we started up a league there because people were playing Griffball for the American Griffball League of America, but there's only so much you can do, you know, run like three leagues or three seasons a year. So we started running a league on the hub that was alternating. So you would have six seasons a year of Griffball instead.
Mm-hmm. And that's still crazy amount of Griffball.
Yeah, like as much Griffball as you can swing a hammer at. And that's what we still do is that the AGLA and the Griffball Hub League, we alternate throughout the year so that no matter when it is, it's, you know, signups for the next season are, you know, usually only a month away.
Yeah, we play in each other's off season.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So that people can play in both leagues if they'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I'm the admin for running this league. That's my main duty. But I write articles and run events too, you know, one night tournaments and stuff like that.
You married me.
Oh, and my biggest accomplishment was marrying Goose.
There you go.
Yeah.
You would have been out in the cold tonight if you hadn't brought that up.
She married me for my Xbox.
I did.
No, she wanted to start hanging out in college because of my Xbox.
Yeah, I didn't like him, but I liked his Xbox.
Yep.
So.
What we used to do is, you know, Halo 2 would have that fanfare with the Bungie logo when you booted it up. And Goose lived two doors down from me in the dorms.
In room 344, just like this podcast.
Exactly. Yep. So what we'd do is I'd open up the door to my dorm room, turn the volume up on the TV, and, you know, tell my roommate, hey, watch this. Turn on the Xbox. It would make the boot up noise with the Bungie logo.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and then Goose would come running down the hall.
You'd hear my door open, slam shut, and guys playing Halo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how it kind of all came together, I guess.
Yep.
So, who is the more dedicated Halo player / fan? Would it be Cal or Goose?
Ooh.
I would say Goose.
I would say me, too. When it comes to pure ability to remember the most ridiculous facts, it's definitely Cal. Like, he can name every level and order and do all that stuff. I just don't have the brain for that. But I read the books. I look into the fiction. You know, that's... So I think that makes me the bigger fan. Cal denies that fiction exists.
No, I have strong opinions about Halo and Halo's story. Some of it from like a meta level, but Goose has actually read the books and more into the expanded universe stuff.
I've read the encyclopedia.
Yes.
I have not read it. I think it's big.
Lots of pretty colors.
Well, of course, it's the encyclopedia. Go figure.
Well, the Encyclopedia Britannica wasn't very colorful.
Yeah, but this is Halo. It's of course it's going to be pretty and colorful.
It is. It is quite pretty. And yeah, so I think I'm the bigger.
Goose has the more impressive title on the hub too.
Community and Content Manager.
Yep. Seriously, every community needs a Goose. Goose makes sure that the hub has an original some kind of original Griffball content on the front page every day. That we have some kind of article or something going up every single day.
And I've been doing it for 3 years.
4 or 5 years?
Oh, God.
Since fall 2008?
I don't want to think about it too much.
Yeah, we're actually...
Four and a half years.
Yeah.
We're actually almost at 2,000 articles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do without the amazing staff and our amazing community. They provide a lot of the content.
Yes.
So much love to everybody out there.
Yay. Go community.
Yay, content. Yep. Give me your content, please.
No, I think Griffball's very lucky to have Goose as there as the face of Griffball when we go to conventions and stuff like that.
Oh, is the alternative your face?
I think the alternative would probably be Jeff or Bernie.
Oh, no, he's sweet. But, yeah, I'm definitely the bigger Halo fan. Because,
let's see, whose face was on the bulletin last week?
I don't know.
Well, that was Bernie.
Oh. Well, I'm like Bernie. I have glasses.
I think the more prestigious thing is who's getting interviewed by Duststorm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Being on podcast.
Well, I don't like to brag, but...
Exactly, exactly. So we are the ish right now.
Very nice, very nice. Or the disease, one might say.
Yes, we are contagion.
Yes, we have caught the disease.
Spanning to epic pandemic proportions. I think that's what I put for the RTX panel. I think I wrote it in like purely epidemiological wording. Like everything was about disease and pan flu. And...
Is that really when you want to be advertising for something like Griffball?
Well, I mean, Griffball's catchphrase originally was catch the disease. And that was also kind of the joke because I'm pretty sure Griff is disease ridden, which is why he's so lazy.
And that would be, I mean, for the audience at RTX, those people would be, you know, they would instantly get the whole disease.
I guess that's true. You are dealing with a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, I mean, there's really two kinds of communities in Griffball. There are the RT fans who like Griffball because it's an RT product. They're the ones who were screaming at us when Griff was gold, telling us, you're stupid, he should be orange, even though we made him gold because of lighting reasons, and that was the only reason. People now who are raging that Griff doesn't die when he plants the bomb because Griff always has to die. You know, the ones who are more focused on it from a Rooster Teeth creation standpoint. And then there's the jocks, as we like to call them, the people who actually play Griffball as a sport. And you know, for me, I'm a jock. I really don't care that Griff doesn't die. I really don't care if we have to tweak his armor so it's more visible, because that makes the game better. So yeah, those are kind of the two camps in the We Love Griffball community.
Funny story, there was PAX East 2011, I want to say, when we had our Griffball panel at PAX East.
Yes.
And we went into the main theater because the Rooster Teeth panel was coming up there. But before that, they had Q&A with Gabe and Tycho. And they were asking, someone was asking a question about D&D, and Tycho was going on about what his favorite D&D settings are, you know, the 5th edition, 6th edition, whatever. And so I turned to Goose and we're like, hey, these are a bunch of nerds. We're the jocks in here.
Dude, we play a sports game within a first-person shooter. We're totally jocks.
Yes.
We're the cool kids. So that was awesome.
Yeah, I will say I'm of the opinion that I'm sad to see Griff not blow up at the end. I missed the explosion.
You know who else is sad about that? Pup. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, making the highlight reel without that explosion at the end, it's just not as satisfying.
I know, it's a nice exclamation point at the end of every highlight when the bomb is planted and there's a huge explosion. But, you know, we don't get that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't mind the color change on the armor. That's not much of a bother to me.
Yeah,
the explosion is just like a cornerstone of Griffball for me. I'm like, that's gone now.
Well, it might come back.
Halo 5, it might come back.
Who knows what a title update might hold.
Yes.
I don't know if they can change a game type like that.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I doubt.
Whenever we have asked 343 for something big, they've always said like, you know, we can't do that now, but maybe in a title update. I mean, you hear that line from Jess all the time.
Yeah.
I'll pick Kevin's brain when he's on next.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
I actually talked with him on Skype a couple days ago, and he said he'd be interested in doing one a little bit later. He's actually up in line to do a podcast with, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it publicly, but he's planning on doing another podcast soon with another community.
You should totally invite us when you have him on. Because we are literally his biggest fans.
I know this from personal experience.
I mean, we've made him a demigod and have dedicated a trophy to him and named a move after him.
I'm surprised you don't have a statue or an altar in your place for him yet.
Who says we don't?
Well, last time I was over there, you didn't.
You didn't see our bedroom, though.
Oh, okay. It's in the private space. So So what, do you have to have an offering before you get to do anything with each other?
Whoa, that's a little personal.
Yeah, it's a little more personal than we're willing to get on.
Official routines are private.
All right. I'm just poking and prodding, seeing where I can get in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, those are bad words.
Yeah. Actually, if you look at, we did a 5th anniversary of Griffball video where we got interviews with, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. It was a good video.
Yeah, some of the Rooster Teeth folks, bunch of Griffballers, Major Nelson and the like, and Kevin Franklin has a bit where he wishes happy birthday, Griffball. And there's a little Easter egg on the Kevin Franklin portion.
Yeah, you should go back and watch the Kevin Franklin portion in slow motion.
Yeah, there's a one-frame Easter egg there.
Yes, it's awesome. Nothing shattering or anything, but if you haven't caught it before, and, you know, it's just a cute thing showing our love for Kevin Franklin.
I'll have to go back and look.
Some may call it, you know, stalking or, you know, obsessive. I just like to call it love.
Yeah, I think it's one of the hazards of working in the industry that sometimes you get a, you know, a small community that is endlessly devoted to calling you their patron saint.
Yeah. Yep, the patron saint of Griffball is Kevin Franklin.
All right. Let's dig down to some nitty-gritty Griffball stuff, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
That's the best way.
So last show, we talked about some of the history behind Griffball, and now we're going to get into the here and now of Griffball. So we're going to dive into some of the changes that we have in the game types and some of the maps that were out in the Griffball playlist, which is on for another week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So indication is that it's going to be up for a very long time.
Which is very good. Very good for you guys. So let's start with the game type. So Halo 3 Griffball, we got the first foundation in Foundry. Ah, funny there. Mm-hmm. It was an assault variant. Goals on either end. First or best out of 5 and all that good jazz. And then we get to Halo Reach and we have kind of a dedicated version, not quite a dedicated version. And a few changes there with armor abilities and such. And now we're into Halo 4 with even more crazy additions. So I will let the experts take over and go over some of the big ticket changes in the Griffball game type. So take it away, guys.
Oh, wow. Where do we start? I mean, Halo 4 obviously is the most unique Halo game to have come
start
out.
Start with that as an actual standalone game type.
I was getting there.
So the story of Kevin Franklin saved Griffball.
So basically what happened is we were at PAX Prime. Cal and I were at PAX Prime. And we got to go to 343 for donuts. We were there along with Rukari and a couple other. Grim Brother one was there and a couple other hardcore Halo fans were there.
I didn't get invited.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't even think you were there yet because it was on.
I was there. I was there because Naked Eli and I saw you guys tweeting on the way there, and we're like, why did we not get the invite?
I don't know.
So, I plead the needless fifth. To say, he and I felt a little left out.
I'm sorry.
We would have kidnapped you and brought you as well.
But, so we got invited to 343, and we're out there eating donuts, we're having a good time, we're drawing on the whiteboard, and this woman comes up to me and touches me on the shoulder and goes, are you Goose? And I'm like, I don't know who this person is, but I'm like, yes. Come with me. I'm like, oh my goodness, okay. And then she takes me into this little back room, and they have all the there's a bunch of screens, monitors set up with Xboxes attached, and I poke my head in and they're playing Griffball, and I'm like, oh! And I instantly grab Cal and I drag him in there with me, and they sit us down and they let us play, and they literally are taking notes as we're playing, as we're making comments. They're taking down notes about what we're doing, what maneuvers we're using, the strategies that we're using. And, you know, at the end, they asked us what we thought and things like that. So we talked about the balance between the sword and the hammer, the timing, the auto pickup, how that enraged me to no end. And, you know, just a lot of stuff like that. And then, you know, the people with the donuts were leaving. They were actually going to Bungie. And so Jess asked us if we wanted to stay and help continue to make the Griffball playlist or the Griffball game type. And of course, we were more than ecstatic to do so. So we actually got to meet up with Sean, on the side, he's Sean Z, and our friend Paragus. They both live in the Seattle area. And So the four of us came together and they sat us in this playroom and they basically said, do cool stuff. Here's what we've been trying to do. We can't seem to do it. Can you do it? So these moves that they were trying to do for weeks, we did in about 5 minutes. I mean, maybe I'm being a little exaggerated or tooting our own horn or whatever, but we definitely pulled off everything they asked of us and then started playing around like we were. And we practiced for the demo and whatnot.
Yeah. And well, one of the great things about 343 that we really appreciate, and maybe this makes Scriftball more unique than some of the other custom game types, is that 343 really got the input of real Griftballers while making Griftball for Halo 4. Like, that is something that still blows our mind, that they brought Shanzi and Paragus and Goose and myself in, you know, throughout the development of Halo 4 to get their opinions on Halo 4 Griftball and what can be done to make it better. Because Griftball was one of the last game types put into Halo 4.
Yes.
And what we heard is that Kevin Franklin one night sat down, took the oddball settings, took the hammer and sword, and invented Halo 4 Griftball.
And what was fascinating is that they told us that he'd done a lot of research. Because I was amazed. The balance was right, the timing, the, you know, sword beats carrier, carrier beats hammer, hammer beats sword. Like, that was all right. And Allison was telling me that, yeah, Kevin Franklin really studied. He went to the hub. He read the articles, our tips and tricks articles. He listened to the hubcast. I am so sorry, Kevin Franklin, if you're listening. I'm so sorry you listened to that.
He got a lot of input by listening to us yell at Simon.
Yeah. And, you know, they really made the effort to make it what we wanted, you know, and that was so amazing. So, you know, obviously there were still some things that were, you know, a little glitchy, like all things are. But, you know, then they announced it at the panel at PAX and we got to go up and demo it in front of everybody. And, you know, then it launched with the game. And, you know, we've taken several months to take what was on the disc and craft it. It's really difficult because even though Cal and I are very experienced Griftballers, we know nothing about Forge and we know nothing about Court Dimensions. That really is the realm of our, basically the most famous forger in all of Griftball ever, a guy named Run Knockyard Run. He made the original map, because Bernie made the original Foundry map, but Knockyard remade it so it didn't have holes in it. And every single map that's gone into matchmaking has been either created by or checked off by Knockyard. So he really is the Griftball map dude.
He's kind of the gatekeeper.
He is. He really, really is. And so when they asked us what we thought it was awesome because we enjoyed playing. But then when we got it on the disc, we realized because of Knockyard and whatnot, the court was just too big. For a 4v4 game with a ball that bounces around, the court's just way too big.
It really helps having the testing of the Griftball community. You know, if people like us who have been playing for several years and you have thousands of people playing hundreds of games.
Yes.
You know, so many teams play, you get so much experience and you just play the game over and over and over again and get a lot of different viewpoints, and it helps refine both the maps and the game type.
And that's what we've literally been doing since the launch of the game, because our league came out, what, 3 weeks after?
10 days, signups for 10 days after the game launched.
Yeah, so we had signups for the first Halo 4 Griftball League 10 days after Halo 4 launched. And then obviously a week after that, we actually started. So less than 3 weeks and we had a Griftball League up and running. And like Cal said, having people play over and over and over again, you know, you think you get a game type and then someone tweaks one thing. They take the shield damage down one tick and all of a sudden it's a new game. And I cannot tell you how many iterations we've had.
No, it's been so awesome in the Griftball community, because you have people who will rigorously test game types over and over again, make a tweak and do it again. You know, when it first came out, we had two guys, Jaeger and Shadow S16, mm-hmm. who were experienced making, helping refine the Reach game type.
Yes.
And they had their game types that they made, and we were running tournaments and like to test them. And, you know, Pop and Knockyard did a lot of work tweaking some settings. And another person from the AGLA named Active Hate was doing some settings and testing out between shields and no shields and how that would work out between the two of them.
I think Ragemore Nerd as well, and Taco, Nuclear Taco 42.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate to say names because
it's hard to get everyone a shout out.
It really is one of those things where so many people have had their hands in it. It has so many thumbprints on it that it's really hard to say one way or the other.
No, Griftball really is a community created game type. You
community can't. Community created, community maintained, community driven, organize everything about Griftball, except for the actual mechanics that are built into the game, is generated by the community.
I mean, even those, you know, we had feedback. 343 was, you know, asking us for feedback on those too.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even right now, the game type that is currently in matchmaking isn't even the latest game type. Like, we'd sent that into 343, and like 3 days later, we got an update. I think it was from Jaeger. I think it was. Saying, hey, this is like the new best game type. And so far, everybody who's played it has agreed, hey, this is better. Let's go with that. So we've sent it into 343. So for the next update they do for Griftball, we will get updated game settings.
Yeah.
So hopefully by that time, that will be the final game setting.
And 343 is a dream to work with when it comes to matchmaking stuff. They do such a great job in listening to the community and communicating with us and having really open channels so that we can talk to them about maps and game types and the like.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful to work with.
So in matchmaking right now, we have two game types. We have Griftball and Griftball Pro. The big difference is that Griftball, the regular Griftball, has auto catch enabled, and Griftball Pro has auto catch disabled. I mean, I think that really is the biggest difference.
Well, and there's the round reset.
Oh, and the rounds. Yeah, and the rounds. And Griftball, there is no round reset. The bomb just respawns. And in Griftball Pro, there's the traditional round reset. So basically, Griftball Pro is like what we play in league matches.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were asking, because we asked the community too, we definitely throw between our Facebook and our Twitter and on the forums, you know, we were asking people, especially newer players, what they thought about auto catch, because all of us old geezer veterans were like, no auto catch, blah, I don't like auto catch, which I don't. But we were asking the younger, the newer Griftballers and the Griftball teams what they thought, and they really did enjoy auto catch because it was just one less thing for them to think about. You know, me, I can tank in my sleep. I can hammer dance with the best of them. I know how to do everything without thinking about it. So I do have that mental energy to hit my ball pickup button, have that orientation for it. But when you're just learning your range and you're just learning the mechanics and you're just learning the most basic aspects of teamwork, it's a lot to throw in one more button.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why we had these two game types.
Griftball is, or what we call Griftball in the playlist, is the one that's more closely similar. It's the one that's most similar to what is on the disc by default.
Yeah.
It's essentially like Infinity Griftball.
Yeah, yeah. It's because 343, when we announced Griftball at PAX, and they had us do the demo, you know, they were showing off the things they were most proud of was passing the ball.
And that introduces a whole new game dynamic, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a little bit.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
We're still building the court.
Yeah, passing is
my goodness.
The big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had passing the ball was the new thing they were proud of. Hitting the ball with the hammer to move it around the court.
Mm-hmm. Franklin.
Which is a move we call the Franklin.
Yes. In honor of.
I wonder why.
Yes, yes. the third thing they were most proud of was the single continuous round that when you plant the ball, it resets into the middle. And the fourth thing they were most proud of was auto catch.
Mm-hmm.
So in the league play, we dumped two of those.
So we basically broke their hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I mean, well, the leagues are mostly, I mean, the people who are most vocal are usually the people who are the veterans, people who have been around for a while. And having round resets every time you plant and having auto pickup turned off are just things that we're more used to from playing in Halo 3 and Reach. And it's not such a big change. I mean, people can go from one to the other very easily. So new people who are used to the matchmaking settings or used to what was on the disc, they can very easily transition to the league settings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the four things that we're most proud of. And those are the four things that are in the default Griftball game type that you see in matchmaking. Whereas Griftball Pro, you know, dumps the auto catch and the continuous round.
Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting to get feedback because there's definitely I scan Twitter pretty well and I keep a good ear to the ground. There hasn't been a lot of comments about, oh, this one sucks, just use this one.
Mm-hmm.
The community seems to enjoy both because I think they're just different enough that you can have a preference, but doesn't mean you don't like the other one. I think Taco Pizza Hunter was mentioning that he liked the continuous round. That he was really, the more he played it, the more he enjoyed it.
It's interesting, too, because you look at something like Reach, where the two biggest Griftball game types were Griftball, a.k.a. Vanilla Griftball, which was exactly what you would expect, and Griftball Dash, which is the one that had sprint and evade.
And a barrel roll.
And a barrel roll.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Dash.
Exactly. People had different opinions about it. Some people
very strong opinions.
Yeah, people had very strong opinions because they played very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vanilla Griff Ball was mostly straight up tanking, where swing your hammer, move, push them down the court and score. Whereas Dash, you know, you had to consider sprint because the runner could actually sprint with the ball. The runner could barrel roll with the ball. You know, there were a lot of other moves that were introduced to the game. So some people who were like, no, I like the Vanilla Griff Ball. This is what Griff Ball should be. I want this. Might not like Dash, whereas people who are like, yes, we need to throw in more flavor, we need to have more moves to do, would love Dash. But in Halo 4 Griff Ball, the difference between Griff Ball and Griff Ball Pro are so minor that folks in the leagues might have a preference, you know, like Griff Ball Pro more than normal Griff Ball. But folks who are hopping in matchmaking, you know, whatever one you vote for, it's 99% the same.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, and they're both a lot of fun. I actually haven't played in the playlist yet. I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't.
I played the place before. It was cool.
Blasphemy!
Ball hipster. But
it's okay. I played enough for the two of us.
Yeah. Oh, God. You're amazing.
Sorry.
Jesus. I'm sorry. But I'm really happy to see the matchmaking playlist doing so well. It's got really high
population
counts. People are really enjoying it. I know Twitter is just a buzz of people loving it to death, having a blast. And, you know, that's really, really rewarding because typically, you know, we brace ourselves whenever there's, you know, it goes into matchmaking or if there's an update, because usually there's a lot of hate mail that gets sent our way.
Yeah.
And, it really
because the people who enjoy it are busy playing.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously true. But we really I really haven't experienced that at all this time around. Mm-hmm. It's been very clean. People have been very happy. And I think that definitely goes to the fact that, you know, Griff Ball was developed for Halo 4, you know, as a part of it. And it had, you know, Griff Baller input as well as developer input. And I think that really made it a better game. Not to put down Reach or Halo 3, because I know Bungie was very kind to the Griff Ball community.
Mm-hmm.
They made us a double XP playlist. They gave us the tools to have it in Reach. And
they gave us the permanent playlist in Reach.
Yeah, so definitely much appreciation for them. For that, but this is just like the next level. I think we've already started joking that the next Halo game will be Griff Ball with Halo 5.
Yep.
So.
Yep, Griff Ball will get
very nice
the next game.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are differences between the two game types, but they're minuscule differences. Like I'm looking at, we have a spreadsheet up. Apparently in Griff Ball, the ball reset time is 15 seconds and in Griff Ball Pro, it's 30 seconds. I mean, we're talking like minuscule, little, tiny details that 99% of the community will never notice.
But they do kind of affect the outcome of the game.
They affect how you might play the game, but people, I can guarantee you, I could probably throw, you know, you, Dusty, into a game with one set of settings and then another game with the other set of settings. And
him? Heck, you could throw me in there and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Well, that was the hard part, is that when we were coming up with this, you know, the hub staff works very collaboratively with each other and we bounce a lot of ideas off. And so we would go in and we'd play one game type and then we'd play another game type and then we played another game type. And they would ask, so what did you guys think? And my response was, we played more than one game type? Because I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, obviously things like auto pickup, I would notice. But when they would up the damage modifier but decrease the shield, I mean, crap like that, I had no clue. Oh, it's bouncier. Okay, if you say so, because I sure didn't notice.
Doubly difficult is when some people are tanks and some people are runners. So the as a runner, I don't spend much time swinging my hammer. You know, if I'm on defense, I usually have my sword out to hunt down the enemy runner. And if I'm on offense, I have the ball. So if I can get like six stiff arms in a row, I'm like, yes, I love this game type. If I die too easily, I'm like, no, I hate it.
There was one point we were testing out a game type. Cal and I were on opposite teams, and that happened. He got like six stiff arms with the ball, and he was like, oh my God, I love this game type. This is perfect. And then me as a tank was like, this is bullshit. I can't kill anything. We just bounce off each other, and the runner's way too strong. And Cal's like, no, the runner's perfect. And so it is really interesting, even from that point of view, of trying to find a balanced game type where offense and defense feel it's even, where runner and tank feel it's even. So, again, it's just one of the things that we've played, I mean, literally probably at this point, thousands and thousands of hours, not just us, with the Griff Ball as a community.
Yeah.
Kind of like crowdsourcing.
That's why you have, I mean, that's where such a huge community comes in handy, is if you have 100 people giving feedback on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's 100 pairs of eyes, 100 set hands, controller. 100 different experiences.
Well, you figure in the GGL this season, we had over 400 teams.
Yeah.
And if each
when I heard that, I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was insane. And you figure each team has at least four players. So that's 1,600 people. So if every single person who signed up played 1 hour, we were already over 1,600 hours of hands-on experience with Griffball.
This is before matchmaking.
Before matchmaking. So it's
all again, that time wasted. No, I'm just kidding.
No such thing. No such thing. So, I mean, we are so appreciative to our community. You know, they make some fantastic maps. I know that all the maps in matchmaking right now, I believe, are made by Knockyard.
Yes.
And there's one that people are complaining looks like a vagina.
The termite one.
First of all.
Termitarium.
One, there's nothing wrong with vaginas. Get over it. And two, I do believe that's the map that 343 requested that Knockyard build a map on.
That was Sarge's lab.
Oh, that's Sarge's lab?
Yes.
Okay, so Sarge's lab, 343 actually asked Knockyard to build a Griffball map specifically on that map.
Yep.
So, and I think, I'm excited.
I was going to talk more about maps.
Okay, I was going to talk about maps too.
What's in there right now are all things that Knockyard has made. As he said, it's pretty much setting the bar for what maps should be into the playlist in the future. Because very shortly, we're going to open up map submissions in our forums.
Poor Taco.
We did the exact same thing in Reach, where everybody was allowed to encouraged to submit their Griffball Court creations. And then Taco would go through, Nuclear Taco 42 is on our staff. He's our cartographer.
Yeah.
Would go through and look at all the maps, give feedback to the creators, and make a thread for it so people can look at the screenshots of it, download the map, et cetera.
And you could rank the map.
You could scale it 1 to 10. Things like that. And then when it came time for a playlist update, we would pull the community on what their favorite maps were.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would pull from there. Knockyard would make some refinements to make them ready for matchmaking. And those were the maps that would go in there. At the end of Reach matchmaking, fewer than half the maps in there were Knockyard creations.
Yeah.
Most of the maps in Reach Griffball were community created game types. You know, so we had like the concave map, which was one of people's absolute favorite maps. It was a dash map.
So unique.
It was made by a guy named Luigi Freak.
Mm-hmm.
And people absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that was the half pipe map.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one was interesting.
Oh, it was so much fun to run to the top and sprint and jump over people's heads. And we're like, oh no, where'd he go? And we're like, ha ha ha, suckers.
Yes.
No one else? That just.
No, that was awesome.
The only one who does that?
No, I did it with a barrel roll.
Yep.
So in Halo 4, we're going to be doing the same thing, that right now there are 100% Knockyard maps and matchmaking, but we're going to open up the forums once we're able to link to maps on file shares. I think that's coming this month. We'll have online access to file shares.
I think so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be mid to late.
February. Yeah.
Mid to late, yes.
So we'll open that up and people can start submitting their Griffball creations. Knockyard's going to have some templates and some walkthroughs on how to make a matchmaking-ready Griffball map. And then I'm really excited because you have the three different forge palettes with wildly different colors. So you can get maps that look very different. They're not all going to be boring gray.
Yay.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, back in my day, we had one map and we were grateful.
Actually, we had two.
And it had the truck.
Sandbox.
First of all, it was just Foundry.
Before Sandbox.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
Before that map pack was even released.
I'm even older than you think.
Yeah. There were a lot of Griffball.
Well, I was just going based off of the sheer maps that were in there, not necessarily the order.
There were a lot
because we didn't even have Foundry. Foundry was a DLC map.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, yeah, that was the first Griffball court.
Yep.
Because
they made it for the DLC map pack.
The heroic map pack, yep.
Yeah, that's when they introduced Griffball, the term Griffball, for the very first time.
Well.
Bernie and Rooster Teeth.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess there was that episode, Hunting Season.
Yeah, yeah.
But we won't go all the way back there.
This was the best game since Griffball.
Episode 71, I believe.
Yes.
So, I think I thought it was 69 or something in there. That's close.
It's right around there. It's right around there.
I thought it was like 67, 69, somewhere around there.
I want to say it's 71 or 72. It could be 72.
We've asked that at like every Griffball panel to give away plushies, so I should double check. It's in that area, though.
Yep.
It's somewhere in the middle of season 4 somewhere.
Right. So, I mean, maps have definitely come a long way from just a plain... Go ahead, Cal.
Well, just to finish up the point, that eventually our goal for Halo 4 is to phase out these Knockyard maps or add new maps on top of these to expand the number of maps in the Halo 4 Griffball playlist so that we're going to end up like Reach, where a majority of the maps are community created things, not just Knockyard creations. Mm-hmm. They're all going to have to be to this certain standard of quality when they go into the playlist. You know, we're not going to put
right
a map into the matchmaking, you know, a map that's broken.
We're not going to put a map that has nipples Oh, wait.
We did.
We did. And we got in trouble.
Yeah.
And we got busted.
Tisk tisk.
I know.
So the Griffball team, the Hot Bikini guys.
Well, it is a mature rated game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So the Hot Bikini guys, Taco Pizza Hunters team, they won a Griffball championship in Reach. So one of their prizes that we gave them was their home court. We put that into matchmaking for them. You know, Knockyard cleaned it up and all that, and we put it in. But on the wall, they had a stick figure man. And
wearing a bikini.
Wearing a bikini. And in the bikini, you could see two little dots.
And apparently those two dots, those two pixels were enough to piss off.
It was obscene.
The executives, and it got removed for being obscene.
Alrighty.
But it was there. It was there for like 2 weeks.
No, it was there for like 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So yeah, the nipples are there.
Yeah. That was awesome.
That was awesome. On the mention of courts, one of the most amazing things about Halo 4 Griffball Court so far, again, involving Knockyard, is our streaming court. Knockyard figured out how to place a wraith underneath a map he calls Thin Ice, and it's on the pretty map with the stars and the
impact.
See, Cal, I told you, Cal's got the quick draw on the memory there. I don't.
So tempted to say something.
Anyway, so the thing is, when you get into the wraith, you go into that third-person perspective, and so you're actually, it looks like you're in the map.
Looks like you're in theater mode.
Yeah, it looks like you're in theater mode. That's a really good way of putting it. So you're actually down in the action. You're not just observing it from the side.
A very sluggish theater mode, but still very effective.
But
yeah.
It is so cool. And we've shared that with 343. You know, informally, nothing special, nothing promised. But we've shared that with them and how we do it. And they look at us like we have 10 eyeballs. We're just insane people.
Are you drones? Are you buggers?
So, yeah, maybe.
We've had a number of people walk into Wednesday Night Griff Brawl and see us streaming on the map or like, oh, what mod is this?
Yeah, and we're like, nope. This is 100% pure, as you might say on Breaking Bad.
Yes.
So.
I really want 343 to look into doing a spectator mode.
Yeah.
For tournaments.
It's really not that to jerry-rig it.
Yes, but jerry-rigging it, I think it's kind of part of the fun. It'd be nice if the Wraith wasn't on the radar. That is the only drawback, is that the Wraith is on the radar. So if you're tanking and you check your radar and you see there's a giant red dot, you might freak out. Or there might be an enemy hiding in it, because I've done that.
Best tank on the court.
Ah, you're so...
Ha, 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 ha. Very funny.
But I think
that was still witty.
I mean, unless I think there's more to talk about with the maps, I'd like to go into tactics. Talk about the new mechanics.
Yeah, sure. Unless Dusty has any other questions about matchmaking.
I mean, are we going to... Is this the final talk of maps?
Well, do you have any questions about maps?
Well, I didn't have any questions. I just wanted to kind of go over them real quick.
Oh, yeah. We can go over them.
So I have Halo 4 up right now, and I'm just kind of scrolling through them. So the first one on the list is Primordial on Erosion.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that looks like a sewer, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's the green one. The description has a joke about the space mop.
The space mop, yes.
Yes, it says, please use the space mop to clean spilled blood.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Space mop.
Space mop.
Yeah, that was one of the first courts Knockyard made in Halo 4 in that in early November.
Yeah, that was one of our first streaming courts.
It was one of the first ones that really blew our mind when we thought, oh, wow, you can actually create a court that looks this good.
It's that gray!
Yeah, a themed court.
It looks really interesting. Actually, a lot of these maps are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So Primordial, what's the next one on the list?
Sarge's Laboratory.
Yes.
Now that's an interesting one. That has an interesting story behind it.
Well, this is, it's built in the, so 343 put a Griffball court on the disc. So when you load up Griffball and you go to, you know, if you load up Griffball, you can play on their default Griffball court. It's, by the settings we have in a 4v4 game, we feel it's too big, and it's not actually a perfect rectangle either.
No, and I found that out when playing with friends, that back corner is a horrible spawn trap.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the spawns are a little funny and all that. You know, it just needs a little tweaking. But for the playlist, you know, they requested that we use this field that they provided, and we not hard build a map in it, so we made Sarge's Laboratory. The lighting, because it's a built-in port as opposed to something created in Forge entirely, you know, the lighting can be a little difficult on that map.
Yeah.
But not
it's hard to see all the way in the corners.
Yeah, yeah, it can be tough, especially because the lights are kind of, they look like they're offset from the wall a little bit, so when someone spawns on the other side, sometimes you can't see them through the lights.
Yeah.
trust that Knockyard has done everything he can to make it as playable as possible.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Although that does go to show how well the dynamic lighting works in the game.
Yeah. Also, another cool thing about Sarge's lab is Knockyard like put a little Easter egg in there. So in one of the corners, you see a stool set out for Sarge so he can watch the Griff ball game.
Yep. He can watch Griff get
Is there a shotgun that's sitting by the chair?
I don't think so, because I can't on the extra maps, extra weapons in the map.
I don't think you can have that.
But there is a little can of beer there, though.
Yeah. It's a little can of beer and like one of those camper stools. Yeah. So you should go look for it. It's really cool. You have to get up on the wall hop and jump to see it.
Yeah, you can't actually get into there.
No.
But because it's an invisible wall in front of it. But if you look in the corner, you can see it.
Well, Easter egg.
Yay, love Easter eggs.
All right, so what's next?
Hangar 101.
I don't even know what that one is.
That one's really cool.
Oh, is that the one with the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nokia showed that to me. He's like, come here, you got to try this. He sounds like a 12-year-old kid in a candy store. He's so happy. And he sprints and he throws himself against that open wall, and I just watch as it flings him backward. And I'm like, oh! So I, instantly, as Griffballers, we try to break everything. So I chuck the ball at the wall, and it gets chucked back at my face. And, the fact that you can just bounce off of it is so cool. I cannot wait to see people figure out launching off of that. Like hitting someone, bouncing them off that wall, and then... Yeah. Redirecting them? That's going to be so cool.
No, it's a really cool twist on the court. Like, most Griffball courts play exactly the same. The wall hops into the side, same dimensions, etc. But it's really nice when someone can throw in a little twist like that just to make the court different enough to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a cool one.
The next one is Thin Ice. You already kind of briefly mentioned this one already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is maybe one of the prettiest, for me at least.
Yeah.
You've got the star side where you can see...
It's one of my favorite.
The skybox, which is beautiful. It's also the map, a version of the map where we can go underneath with the tank and stream.
Yeah, this is the default map that we used for our league this season. And we've heard really nothing but good things about it.
Mm-hmm. The only complaint I've heard is that since the color of the floor is the same color as the radar can be kind of hard to see. But that's the only complaint I've heard. But yeah. I mean, it's a valid point.
Yeah.
So
that's one of my favorite maps, I think, out of the bunch.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thin Ice. So it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it really shows the potential of Forge in Halo 4 and how nice, even if you are just making a box, how nice you can make it look.
It's gonna be a damn nice box.
Yes.
Indeed. Next one is Griffball Fissure.
Yep, this is the brighter outdoorsy type court. There's nothing special in that, nothing gameplay altering in it, but it's a pretty basic but very nicely playable court. This is also, I want to say, this is the first map Knockyard made in Halo 4.
Is this the one that was based off Brightside in Halo Reach? Because you said one of them was based off of Brightside. Brightside was one that had the natural wall.
Yeah, I think that might be Fissure.
That's Fissure, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So it was based off of the Reach Griffball map of Brightside, which is the one that had the natural rock face wall on one side, and then it had the...
I didn't like that one.
Oh, and it had the pipe along the back wall.
Yeah, I like this one. I like Fissure, but I did not like that one in Reach.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my least favorite ones.
So, I mean, it was based off of that, but obviously they're different. Redone for Halo 4.
Yep.
So I guess that means the last one is Terrarium.
That is correct.
Seriously,
that's a George O'Keefe map.
I don't see what's wrong with vaginas. Why are people complaining?
I've heard a lot of people not like this map.
There's a large component of adolescent and young adult males that play Halo, and they're the ones complaining that it looks like a vagina. I don't understand. Don't you like vaginas? I mean, some might, and I perfectly respect that. I think that's totally cool. If you don't like vaginas, you don't play that way, that's totally fine.
Maybe they're into the boobies instead. I don't know.
They miss the hot bikini guys court.
They want the nipples back.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so Terrarium is basically what the name suggests. It was made to be like an anthill, like a termite mound.
Yeah, that's the term that Knocker uses, inside a termite mound.
Yes.
So I do have to say, it's very nice, though, that he doesn't have any names that are almost impossible to pronounce.
Oh, he tried that for his jetpack Griffball map.
Yeah.
Knockyard likes using the thesaurus.
Because I remember, there was Chichen Itza, which was really hard. What was the one in Reach that was almost impossible to say?
Exalt and Genuflect.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
Exultant Genuflect.
Okay.
It was a Blarg Ball map, and he was going after, like, elite ship names.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
You know, Genuflect meaning to bow down for something. Exultant.
Wasn't there another, like, Indomitable Kachina or something like that?
It was Indomitable something, yeah.
All I can think of is Kachina, you know, the American Indian feathered... People from Arizona will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So, yeah, all the names so far have been very easy. He has shown some people the jetpack court that he's worked on. One, it's insane. Just absolutely insane. The physics, there's so many different kinds of physics on that map.
Chimerical Rigor.
Chimerical.
Is his name of his jetpack griffball map for Halo 4.
And that it is, I cannot wait to share it with everybody. I mean, I'm not a fan of jetpack griffball, but you have to play that map. Because it's just, one, it's beautiful, and two, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah, there are no floors, and no walls, and no ceilings.
Well, hopefully you have a floor to spawn on.
Wait, no. There is a ceiling. Two, wait, no, only one.
Oh, there's no floor to spawn.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
It also reminds me of the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. There are no windows and no doors. Well, there's always my way. But that one, cannot wait to share it with people. Beautiful court, mind-blowing when it comes to the physics. Cannot wait to share it with people. And people are also working on a dash variant for Halo 4 Griffball, which I think would be very interesting to see happen. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. Have you, Cal?
No, but you'd have thrusters instead of
a yeah. Baby. And I know there's a upcoming event. I think the IGL is doing it.
Yeah, during a dash griffball.
They're doing a dash griffball tournament, so people can try that out pretty soon. Yeah, those are all the maps and game types that we've got going on.
Sounds good.
It's a lot.
I'm actually
keep an eye out for when we open up the map submissions. I mean, right now we have a thread in our map forum where folks can toss around ideas and share their creations already. But once we have the official submission form up, then folks can start sharing their griffball courts with us, and we'll make threads for them and, you know, use them in our own events to get them more exposure. And then that's what we will turn to when it's time to update the playlist.
Sharing is caring.
Very nice. So yeah. Do you have any, like, tutorials or guides for making maps? Like something that similar to what Certain Affinity has done with their Dominion and Extraction videos? Or
we don't have anything out yet, but Knockyard is working on some tutorials for making the perfect griffball court.
Yes, it's in the works.
Yeah, for how to, I mean, you know, the plants need to be in the exact right spot, the bombs spawn, you know, the wall hop has to be a certain height and certain width.
Spawn orientation
is a big one
that drives Taco up a wall.
Yeah, hits it and people get their spawn points wrong.
God.
And really, because in Forge you have the measuring system, so this goes down to like a tenth of a degree to make sure everything is exact. Because we want players, when they hop onto a court, to instantly be able to play that game just the way they're used to.
It needs to be uniform all the way across.
Yeah. So unique twists on the game, like, you know, if you have a wall hop that goes all the way around the court instead of on two walls, or like in Hangar 101, if you have that empty shield wall.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, those kind of twists are fine. But messing with, like, the plants and the spawns is usually a no-no.
Also, pro tip, no kill balls. If you have a kill ball, your map will instantly get rejected. I'm just telling you right now.
Yes.
No kill balls.
Who's putting kill balls in their griffball maps?
You've seen it.
What was that? There was one map in Halo Reach. It was in the original griffball court, so the one that was walled off, the one that Bungie originally made that was huge, a giant dark cavern. And they filled it with man cannons and kill balls. And it was the worst. It wasn't even griffball.
For a griffball map?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not griffball.
Just don't do it. Like, seriously, you think you're clever? You're not. Don't do it. Just make it pretty, make it fun, make it interesting, but no kill balls. Just don't, please. So yeah, that's your pro tip.
Yeah, it'll save Knockyard and Taco some headaches.
Some face palming. It won't be headaches. I'll just go delete.
Yeah.
No kill balls. So that's our maps and game types. And, you know, the game mechanics of Halo 4 have really influenced how you play the game. And it's been really fascinating to watch as teams have developed, you know, because one, I play on a team, and two, I get to watch a lot of games because we have Wednesday Night Griff Brawl, which is every Wednesday at 10, we stream a Griffball game, usually a league matchup. You know, right now we're in playoffs, so we're streaming playoff games. So I get to watch a lot of games, and I get to commentate a lot of games. And it's been fantastic watching teams evolve. Like, the very first games we streamed, it looked just like Halo 3 or Halo Reach, where you had the runner, and then you had the three tanks in front of the runner holding the line, making like a geese V almost around the runner. And very slowly, you've seen people break out of that. Now, one of the most effective ways I've seen, and Green Army did this in their game against Sarge's squad earlier this week, or last week, it was last week, where they left two people to defend the runner, and then they sent their fourth all the way down the field to try and get in the back zone.
Camp the plate, yep.
Yeah. You know, because what happens is that the runner isn't helpless anymore. You don't need to do the U6 bumble ball thing where you follow the runner around. Because if the runner gets pinned, he or she can just put it up and pass it to a teammate. So really stretching the field and having more communication and more court awareness with your team has done wonders. And we have seen some amazing, amazing plays from teams, like four rapid fire passes to end a goal plan. I mean, it looks like World Cup soccer out there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, Griffball really used to be a tank heavy game. And by tanking, we mean the people with the hammers who their job is to just kill the other team until they're dead. Yeah.
It's a good job.
Yep.
I recommend it.
So it used to be very tank heavy, and teams that had great KD spreads, who were great at just straight up killing, those were the teams that used to dominate a lot.
In Reach.
Yeah. Yep. In Halo 3, there was some launching that folks could pull off to try to ameliorate that. But by and large, even in Halo 3, a great tanking lineup was a key to a successful team.
Yeah, very dominant.
And unfortunately, one of the side effects of Griffball, of playing over Xbox Live, is you have host and you have connection that get built into it. And a person who pulls host usually has a larger hammer range that is more dominant on the court. And people who connect well to that host, either if they're in the local area or they have a great connection themselves, usually also have a much greater hammer range.
They benefit from it.
Yeah, they benefit from it.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of times in matchmaking where, just because of the nature of the netcode in Halo 4, it doesn't make for a very entertaining or enjoyable experience.
Yes.
Yes.
And unfortunately, dedicated servers would help in that regard, but it wouldn't totally wipe that out.
No.
Because people are going to be connecting better to the server in Seattle, depending on where they are in the country.
God, can you imagine a team in Seattle would dominate?
Versus like a team in Florida.
Yeah.
But what Halo 4 does, the real genius of Halo 4 Griffball, I actually wrote an essay for the Hub about this a couple weeks ago.
Giant wall of text.
Yes. One of the great things about Halo 4 Griffball is passing the ball avoids the whole tanking issue. That teams get a slight advantage if they're better tanks because they don't have to worry about passing. But if you're able to outmaneuver the other team, get somebody behind their line, or spread out your teammates so they can get open, you can pass the ball down the court, you don't have to tank your way down the court to the pad. Instead, you can just pass the ball to the pad, throw it over the heads of the opposing team's tanks. It doesn't matter how big their hammer range is, you can just throw the ball around them.
And also, it's still difficult, and we're still learning how it works, but I have seen some ridiculous launches. Like, I have seen, especially Green Army Jr., they have launched people to where they hit the ceiling when they had the ball. So not as easy as it was in Halo 3, but
it's better than Reach.
Definitely better than Reach. So that's,
yeah, I've seen some of those crazy launches.
Yeah, and it's great to have that back. The only downside, and we've mentioned this amongst ourselves, is that you can't self-launch. So it's really hard to defend against, you know, a runner who's hawk diving from on high because you can't get yourself off the ground, you know? But, you know, that's how people are learning how to defend against. And that's what happens in Griffball. And that's one of the most amazing things about this sport, is that someone figures something out, and then within a month, someone figures out how to counteract it. So, for example, in Halo 3, there was the flowers, which is where you launch yourself while picking up the ball. And people are like, oh my gosh, Hacksword, you can't do that.
It's an instant win button.
It's an instant win button. But within a month, people had figured out how to hawk dive themselves, how to launch themselves, meet the runner in the air, and sort him. And that's what Griffball is all about. It's always constantly changing and growing. And, you know, someone figures something out, so someone has to counter it. Well, then they counter that counter. It's kind of an arms race, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, passing's the same way. It's interesting because in our first games in Halo 4, we had some of the best teams from Halo 3 and Reach, some of the best players who were dominating there. and they would be trying to play a straight-up tanking game. Mm-hmm. Whereas you'd other teams that more quickly adjusted to Halo 4 and started passing the ball around, and those are the teams that started dominating. So it just totally flip-flopped of what teams were on top because of who adapted to Halo 4 more quickly and learned these new moves and were able to use them better.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, having good tanks is always going to be helpful. And there are times that teams can just straight tank. They don't have to put the pass up. Because when you put the ball in the air, like in soccer, just like in football, you know, you are increasing your risk of a turnover. But, you know, it's so much fun. And it's so much fun to watch. And I love calling interceptions. That's maybe one of my favorite things is that you can intercept the ball in midair. And when you're watching league games and we stream, it's also important to remember that there's no auto catch. So if someone is literally launching themselves into the air and catching the ball, they're doing it legitly. There's no easy button there. So it's definitely become a lot of fun to commentate because so much can go on. You know, Reach was like, and he tanked, and he went back, and he moved forward, and he moved back, and he died. But now it's, you know, so-and-so passes to so-and-so who launches it to so-and-so who's on the pad. And, you know, it's to me, so much more exciting to have that passing aspect in there.
It's more like a real sport.
Yeah, it really does, I think, raise it to the level of sport rather than just, you know, spamming your hammer.
Funny story. Don't mean to enrage any MLG type folks, but I noticed that when Halo 4 was launching and Kevin Franklin was doing interviews, whenever someone would bring up esports, mention, you know, how does Halo 4 fit into esports? His mind always went to Griffball.
Always.
They did MLG Dallas, and they showed off Griffball there, and all they could talk about was how it's, you know, sport-like, you know, it's an e-sport and sport mm-hmm. the future and all that. He did an interview with Forbes right after launch, and they asked about e-sports. The first thing he brought up was Griffball.
Yep. So, I mean, I think if you were to define e-sport, I think Griffball is it. I mean, I think it's the truest sense of the word. I understand that people play MLG, and they play Halo, not anymore.
Play Halo.
MLG doesn't cover shooting Halo anymore.
Yeah, Halo's not an MLG anymore.
So, but they do those kind of things. You know, StarCraft and Blops and all that kind of stuff. You're still playing a shooter or a real-time strategy game or whatever. But Griffball is actually a sport. Like, it's contained. It's almost exactly like soccer, but with sticks.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like lacrosse or rugby.
Yeah. So to me, it is the purest e-sport. And I would love to see it, you know, develop and grow as such.
And you take a step back, too. I mean, it is mind-bogglingly unique in how it works. I mean, it's not just like a first-person shooter where, you know, you say you're watching a stream of team player matches, 4v4, they're playing on a drift. You know, you flip the camera to somebody with an assault rifle and he's battling somebody else who has a mauler, a bolt shot. And, you know, you flip someone else who's DMRing across the map in the center and all that. You know, they flip from person to person, and it's more like 4 to 8 individual battles happening at once mm-hmm. in a team slayer match. And at the end, you add up all their points, and that's the team that wins. Griffball, on the other hand, it's not like that. It's not like StarCraft, where you have one person clicking furiously on their computer. It's not even like Madden, where you have one person controlling a team of everybody on the field, mm-hmm. one person at a time, and the computer is controlling the rest. I mean, Griffball is unique in that you actually have 4 human beings sitting at the controller working together on it, one wide open field. And all of them, they need to worry about their spacing, they need to worry about their hammer range, they need to worry about betrayals, they need to worry about passing, they need to keep an eye on the ball. Communication is the biggest thing in Griffball that separates good teams from bad teams.
I mean, I think that's kind of the essence of a sport, excluding football, because it doesn't count. But the sport itself is so simple, and that's why it's so complex. When you think about it, it's an open court or field, whatever you want to talk about, and you have 2 weapons. You have a hammer and a sword, and there's a ball, and you just got to plant the bomb. Like, the basics are just ridiculously simple. Like, anybody could do it. But that is why it becomes so complex, is because you can build off of it. You've got pretty much a clean slate to do whatever you want, and there's nothing holding you back. There's really no rules that contain you, you know, and prevent you from doing, you know, a flowers or a wall hop. You can be as creative as you want. And I mean, when you think about sports like soccer, I mean, the rules are pretty simple.
There's a reason why every single country can, every person in the world can afford to play soccer.
Yeah.
All you need is a field and a ball.
And we're very proud of that. Very proud of that. Even baseball, you know, just,
you know, ball and a stick.
A ball and a stick. You know, it's
so yeah.
But, I mean, you think about, I mean, I can't speak to baseball because I'm not a fan, but in soccer, I mean, there's plays. You've got to watch the line. You've got to watch your angles. You need to drop back and open up space. And there's constant shifting. The field is always in motion. It's never stagnant. And or just like in baseball, like deciding, do I throw to third or do I throw to second or do I throw to home? And should I bunt? Should I sacrifice? Like, there's all these decisions that have to be made for this incredibly simple game.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. That's what makes a really awesome sport. And football. Football just has too many rules.
No, football is
ridiculously complex.
Yeah, football is really strange that Americans really love it, while it being the most complicated game in the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. But no, we're so happy with Griffball. We're so proud, you know, that we get to be a part of this, that we get to help it move along. I mean, we can say that we helped form Halo 4 Griffball.
We have big dreams for Griffball too.
Yeah.
Like, streaming games is awesome. We absolutely love the on-court camera that Knocker built with us, the thing with the Wraith under the ice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do Wednesday Griffball every Wednesday night where we stream a game or a series, and we have live play-by-play commentary with Text and Goose. You know, we do a pre-game show beforehand where we bring on the players, interview them, and talk about their strategy and how the season's gone. And we have flashback strategy videos where we'll look at last week's game and analyze five plays from there about how this team managed to pull off the win.
Ball sack.
You know, we have the ball sack now. Goose is answering
viewer. Goose's ball sack.
Yeah, she's answering viewer mail on our Wednesday Night Griffball pregame show. So people can ask, you know, how do I win the opening tip-off? My team's having problems with this. Or, you know, they keep wall-hopping over us. How do we prevent that?
Or, what is bacon? I think that's one I've gotten so far.
Bacon?
Yeah. Like, there's some really bizarre ones, and that's cool, too. But there are some legit strategies.
Yeah, I like legit strategy sports angle.
Like, I like the funny ones.
That Griffball, that makes Griffball into a legitimate sport. Like, not only the Magic playlist, but the wider thing with the leagues. And, you know, live Griffball events at RTX.
Yeah. As we're running down the schedule, on Wednesday night Griffball on Wednesday, we live stream the Hubcast on Thursdays. On Friday, the Hubcast gets posted for people who weren't there for the live stream, as well as, Thursdays, we also have Rally's Comic. On Fridays, we're bringing back the Mr. Jokobo's Fashion Friday. We also have Taco Pizza Hunter's TGIF, which recaps the best of Griffball highlight videos, clips, and films from the last week. You know, on Saturday or Sunday, we usually have Tiggy's Take, which is the European Griffballers, their podcast. You know, they're based out of the UK, and they have their Tiggy's Take. And every Tuesday, we have the Twitter Tuesday, where we recap, you know, the best Twitter comments about Griffball. And on Wednesday, we had the Check a Challenge, which is our caption contest. And, you know, we just
throughout the week, we have other stream games, too.
Yeah, other stream games.
That outside of Wednesday Night Griffball, if teams would like their game streamed, you know, we're more than happy to hop onto the court, get Max there to do play-by-play commentary, and stream other matches as well.
Mm-hmm.
We post those on Twitter and on our homepage.
So it's amazing that all of this has come out of just a website that wanted to, you know, give a little bit more.
That kind of came out of a joke in Red vs. Blue.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous how far this sport has come. And as Cal was mentioning RTX, we like to refer to it as GriffCon.
It kind of does fit it that way.
Yeah, we were there last year, and we got a Griffball panel that we were
blown
about
away
to do. We did a Griffball tournament, and we also did a Griffball free play. And we were absolutely just, Cal said, blown away by the enthusiasm. We brought some Griffball Hub swag, you know, just, you know, orange wristbands with Griffball Hub, and we had some buttons. And people, it literally got down to where we were taking our own stuff off. Like, people were asking for the wristbands and buttons off of my shirt, off of my wrist. And Tex and I did it. We basically stripped off all of our Hub swag and gave it to people because they were just so eager. And I'll never forget, we were in there, we were going for the Griffball free play, I think. Yeah, it was the free play. And we walked in, and there's this huge line. It's from the stage all the way to the far right wall and all the way back the far right wall. So in this huge convention center, this entire, I'd say, you know, a quarter wall of the entire convention center is just lined up with people about two or three thick. And, you know, Jack is up on stage. So we're here, oh, they're for Achievement Hunter. Okay, that's cool. Yay, Achievement Hunter. And Tex goes up to him and he goes, hey, you guys here for Achievement Hunter? And they look at him and they go, no, we're here for Griffball. And everybody starts cheering. And we're just sitting there dumbfounded. Our mouths are hanging open. is this really happening?
Wow.
And it really blew our mind. It was so, I mean, for me, it was refreshing. It was so nice to see people that excited. Because I think sometimes on the hub, we think we're our own little island and we're all in our own little happy Griffball bubble. You know, sometimes we'll go into the shooty Halo worlds, but most of the time we're in this little happy bubble. And to see people love the sport as much as we do was amazing. It really was amazing. So that's why we refer to it as GriffCon. Oh, and the panel. In true Griffball fashion, we went into the panel and I had no clue what we were doing. I was supposed to think of something. I couldn't think of something. So I just like, well, let's start with Q&A. And then we just answered questions for the entire hour. There were so many people that wanted to ask questions that we just sat there and answered questions about Griffball for an hour.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Well, half of them were, what will Griffball look like in Halo 4?
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't work for 343, I swear.
Yeah, that's, ugh. But, you know, so this year we sent in a Griffball panel for RTX, and I'm hoping that we'll be invited to do another Griffball tournament on the esports stage as well. And I think the count is up to about 25 Griffballers from Griffball Hut. They're going to be there. You know, myself, Cal, Tex, Taco Pizza Hunter. I think all of Kittens with Spikes.
They're created. It's a team called Kittens with Spikes. The greatest team name.
Ever.
Ever. And they're calling their road trip a caravan of kittens.
It's so cute. A caravan of kittens.
Wow.
And there's, you know, Allie and Merherder from, well, What the Griff and Disciples of Griff. They're going to drive in from Tucson, and it just, you know, there's just going to be this huge gathering of Griffballers, a gaggle of Griffballers.
The closest thing we're ever going to get to a Griffball convention.
To GriffCon, absolutely. So we are super excited. I know Cal and I will be at PAX East, but the Griffball panel got rejected from there. So the only Griffball presence will be Cal, myself, and Tex.
But there will be a Griffballer on a panel.
Yes, I will be on a panel, but it's not Griffball related. So.
But it is something of importance. I don't know if you want to bring it up later.
I mean, I think it's important.
What is it, Goose?
It is a panel called Video Games and Mental Health, Science versus Stigma. And basically it's based on the research I've done through my dissertation for my clinical psychology doctorate. And
what perfect timing amongst all the recent news.
Oh my gosh. And that's the thing, is that all that news is revolves around children. Like, that's what everybody's focusing on, is violence in children. And my research is on adults. And that's how I you know, suggested it to the PAX panel people, is, you know, everybody's focused on kids, but what about adults? You know, Adam, whatever his name was 20. He wasn't, you know,
a 7-year-old playing an M-rated game.
Yeah, he's not a 12-year-old playing Grand Theft Auto. So, I mean, I didn't focus on violence. I focused more on mental health symptoms. Like, are people who play 40 hours a week, do they tend to be more depressed or less depressed? You know, people who play shooters, are they more angry or less angry? People who play RPGs, do they do this or do that? So I was more interested in that. But obviously, I'm very well read up on video game and mental health literature in general. So there will be a panel. It is 5:00 on Saturday in the Merman Theater. And it will be myself and my chair, my academic advisor / dissertation chair. So I gotta say, it was kind of cool, because typically when I fill out panels, it's, you know, Kelly, quote unquote, Goose Checka. And this time I wrote out my full name, like my middle name, and I included all of my degrees, and it's a very different experience, but I'm very excited about it. Even if it's not Griffball. Griffball
very
is
nice.
Possible, pretty much.
Right, so, but this is still, I got to actually participate in this survey, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm so excited that I hope people who engaged in the survey are going to be there, or I'm going to record it so that people can listen to it as a podcast. We might even film it so people can watch it later. So I really hope that people who were so wonderful and helped me out so much will kind of get to see the results, because it's been a couple months since we collected the data, and we're still working on it. And I'm really, really excited to share the results with everybody. So not Griffball, but still very exciting.
Indeed. Sorry for the tangent.
Oh no.
But yes, PAX East. I'm gonna but like you said, you have a couple people going to PAX East. I'm going to PAX East.
Yay.
I'll be at RTX as well.
Yay.
I am debating whether or not I want to try to do a panel at RTX. I'm still on the fence.
You should.
What would the panel be on?
It would be on podcasting.
I think you
should.
The
only thing is, I don't know many other podcasters outside of Halo podcasts, and I don't really know who's all going. So
find that with it being RTX, you have Halo fans there.
It's like a mini Halo. Well, not mini. It's like a even bigger Halo Fest.
Yeah, and I mean the only other podcast I could think that would probably have more attention than yours would be the RT podcast.
Right. So I gotta kind of brave up and send an email to Gus and Bernie, asking them if they knew people that are coming that would be willing to get in touch with in order to set something up. Because I want to get into the details of what technically goes on in the podcast, how to maintain an audience, how to generate contents for an audience, how to handle submissions and extra miscellaneous stuff.
So there's this thing called the Griffball Hubcast, and it is run by the Texorcist and Goose Checka.
You don't say.
They're both going to be at RTX, and although they do not have 344 episodes like Podtacular, they did just cross the 143 mark, so by RTX they'll be up around 160 something. No, one more than that, 170-ish.
Yeah.
So I mean, personally, as your friend and as your peer, your internet peer, I would really encourage you to do it, because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no.
Right. It's just,
and then you're going to be there anyway. So
it's just getting the people. That's the thing is that has me just a little befuddled right now, is trying to find. I mean, yeah, I know I have you guys and then the RTX guys, but or the Rooster Teeth guys, but I would like to branch out if possible to something that's not necessarily specifically Halo, but definitely gaming related.
So, I mean, I think that, and I'm sorry if this is a tangent for your podcast. But I think
we're full of tangents. That's kind of the nature of Podtacular. So
penitent tangents.
Yes.
Oh.
But given the audience of RTX, that they are going to be Halo fans and people who are going to this panel, one, they like having identifiable content that they can relate to you guys. Like they may have listened to Podtacular or they may have listened to the modcast or something. And I think the fact that this is all that people on your panel might all be grounded in Halo would be something that would help them understand what you're talking about on your podcast and how that works. And two, I think if you're going to go into the nitty gritty of here's the software I use, here's how I record, here's how I keep on a schedule, here's how I've managed to do 9,000 episodes, I think that kind of stuff would be interesting regardless of what topic the podcasts cover.
Yeah,
as long as you have people who are like mechanically, logistically competent in how they run their podcasts and run a successful one.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling that I was having is, you know, it sounds like you're more that. It's not so much about, hey, let's do a podcast about Halo. It's more about how do you have a successful podcast? And so, I mean, obviously your podcast, I think you should do it again, submit it, throw people's names out there.
Heck, you could do it by yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, you could be out there by yourself. I mean, absolutely. We'd be in the front row throwing stuff at you.
I mean, do like the Griffball panel and do a Q&A. I'm sure people would be able to fill up an hour asking technical questions about how you run a podcast.
I mean, think about it. How many times do you get asked, what microphone do you use?
Every now and then.
Yeah, you get asked a lot. I see it all the time on Twitter.
Rooster Teeth is so big. The Rooster Teeth community is, one, humongous, and two, very big on creating new content for themselves. So I think there are a lot of people in that community who would be interested in hearing these kinds of logistic things.
I know who we can talk to. Talk to Jenga.
That's an excellent idea.
Are you familiar with the Late Night Jenga Jam?
I've heard of it.
It is the biggest podcast by the Rooster Teeth community. So it's not the RT crew, but Late Night Jenga Jam literally has been around since I've been on Rooster Teeth for 10 years. So I can put you in touch with Jenga if you want, because obviously he runs it. We could probably get you in touch with Maddie and TKO. They run a podcast off of the Rooster Teeth site. Bottomless Wit is what they're called. So yeah, if you're looking for members of the Rooster Teeth community who do podcasts, I mean, Jenga Jam is very, very successful. It definitely is the most popular podcast on Rooster Teeth after the RT podcast.
That'd be fantastic.
So yeah, hit me up after this and I'll get you in touch with Jenga.
Awesome.
And then that assures me a seat, right?
Of course.
I'm teasing. But no, totally do it. Absolutely. I think it would be awesome. I think people have those questions and they want to know. And if it's anything like last RTX, they're going to have an RT podcast. There's going to be 5,000 people that want to go. There's only going to be 300 people who get in. So there's going to be 4,700 people who are not going to have that podcast need met. And if they see another podcast panel that involves people from the Rooster Teeth community, from the Griffball community, from the Halo community, and somebody else, if you want to reach out beyond that too, that's also a podcast. You know, that I think that's definitely a space that they could fill in. I remember last RTX, a lot of the guests were very famous. They were self-made famous people, like the Live Prude Girls.
Goose Checka.
Oh, whatever. But like Live Prude Girls, My Drunk Kitchen, you know, I think her name's Grace. So a lot of self-made YouTubers that are out there. But there really wasn't a lot on actual gaming. And
a lot of focus on individuals and less on community.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm sure Rooster Teeth wants to fix, because one of the taglines of their website is about community.
I thought it was gaming and culture collide.
Well, I'm thinking about Rooster Teeth when they do the comedy games community, are their three tag words they use to define their brand.
So, I mean, even having a community, even if it is the Halo community, could definitely be a good selling point. And I totally see where you're coming from, because if you were doing PAX, I would strongly suggest branching out, making it not just Halo people. But at Rooster Teeth, considering your audience, you know, I'll get you in touch with Jenga. I'll see if you want to talk to Maddie, TKO, and we'll...
Anyone that you'd be willing to throw my way would be more than helpful.
Otherwise, I'm just going to submit it for you. I'm just going to write your name down, and I'm going to fill a panel up for you, and I'm going to submit it for you.
No, I'll fill it out myself. Okay. I think I have the big boy pants to do that.
Okay, I won't commit perjury. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So,
well, now that we've devolved completely from Griffball, but I hope
go to RTX, people who are listening.
GriffCon. Go to GriffCon.
Yes, come to GriffCon.
Yes. Yeah. GriffCon. And then, of course, I will be at PAX Prime again.
Yes.
Home of Microsoft and 343 Industries. So they usually throw, or at least the last time, two times I've been there, they've thrown parties. So they're likely to throw another party for all the kind of the Waypoint community leaders.
Yeah. That's a maybe. I don't know. I'll be on hopefully be on internship. Don't look at me with those sad eyes. Turn the other way. So, a lot of really exciting stuff coming up. I mean, both for Griffball and the Halo community at large. And I think I speak for Cal when we say we really can't thank the community enough for being as awesome as
enough
they
the community,
are.
You have nothing to do.
Yeah, my life would be very boring if I didn't go through and check, you know, hundreds of posts every day and, you know, go through Twitter posts and, you know, stalk people and make them do things like
somehow write 2,000 articles about Griffball.
Yeah, it's possible. It's been done. We proved that you can write 2,000 articles about Griffball
and still keep going and make sense.
And there's still so much more. There's still so much more that's not even said. Like, I know.
Well, that's the beauty of just Halo in general, the whole universe and the whole community base. It's just that awesome. And there's that much stuff out there that you can keep on creating content.
Yeah, I know. Cal and I wish we could clone ourselves because there's so much.
Oh, I've wished that so many times.
There's just so much that we want to do, and there's just not enough hours in the day and not enough hands in the world to do it. And that is exciting because it does keep you excited. It keeps you willing to come back. And because as we know, as community people, it's not always pretty. It's not always fun, you know, when you deal with the community. But, you know, that this kind of stuff is exciting and it keeps us coming back over and over and over again. And it keeps the community coming back too. So yay. Much love.
Yep.
Yay.
To the G-ballers in his house.
All righty. I guess that wraps just about everything up for everything Griffball related. Do you have any final things that you think you might have missed that you want to address? I mean, I think we covered most of it. We covered the difference in the game types, changing from Breach to 4. We talked about the passing, the bomb resets, some of the little tweaks that aren't that noticeable. We talked about the maps.
Come join us on Wednesday evenings. Even if you don't play in a Griffball league, even if you've never watched Griffball before, come join us for Wednesday night Griffball. Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we front page articles every week describing it and keying up the matchup with
plenty of links. Prepare to be there for a long time.
Only if 4Guys1Ball is playing.
They play like half an hour per round.
It's ridiculous.
I just remember when I was there back in December.
Yeah. That was probably 4Guys1Ball.
Yeah, it hasn't been so bad. The last one we had was maybe about an hour. So
you don't have to stay for the whole thing, but you will want to because it is that freaking awesome.
Whoa, now. Be careful. Don't oversell.
It's very interesting to watch.
At the end of the match, at the end of the series, we give out 800 Microsoft points. Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to stick around.
Yeah.
Tex does such a great job commentating.
Yeah, he's a fantastic commentator. He does a really, really good job. Very, very good. I feel all reminiscent and, you know, warm and fuzzy talking about Griffball.
Well, it's your baby.
It is. It is my baby. It's a really cantankerous, moody, oftentimes grumpy baby. But, it, you know, when it smiles at you, it definitely makes it all worthwhile. Simon!
On that note, I want to thank Goose and Kyle for coming on the show and giving us the scoop on all the changes for Griffball for Halo 4.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for coming. I think mostly everybody that probably listens to this has already played the Griffball playlist. If you haven't, definitely check it out. It's been out for 2 weeks, and it looks like it's going to stay for a good long while from here on out. So you will never miss the opportunity to play Griffball in Halo 4. So definitely check it out. You can check out the Griffball folks over at griffballhub.com. They have Twitter, they have YouTube, they have Facebook, all that nice social media jazz. They have their own podcast that they do that they just mentioned, the Griffball Hubcast.
Woo.
So you can check that out. And then I think that wraps up the show. I'll do my outro bit. Remember to visit our website, podtacular.com. And if you have anything to submit for anything on an upcoming show, whether it's questions about the Halo news that's come out, anything in this particular episode that you may have questions about, please drop us a line. You can use the green submit button on our homepage, or you can send it to us directly at submissions@podtacular.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And you can also call our new listener voicemail. I've announced this on the past couple of shows, but I'm going to announce it again, and our new number is 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. So make sure you drop us a line over there. It can be anything that you would normally submit, and we will play them regularly, probably in our bulletin updates. Please try to keep it to no more than 2 minutes long. About a minute and a half is a good target time frame for me to go through and shift through them. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so right over there.
Over there. He's pointing at it right now.
Yes. Although you can't see it because this is an audio podcast.
Yes. Just point with your voice. It's okay.
Over there. Also, we would appreciate any donations that you'd be willing to put forward to the podcast and the website. It is not free. It comes out directly from my pocket to keep the podcast running, and I make it free to you guys. So if you have the kind and willing heart, we would appreciate any and all donations you are willing to send our way. There's a donate button on our homepage, and it takes you to a PayPal site where you can donate a few bucks our way. So we appreciate all of you guys who contribute. And when the new forums get set up and running, you will have a nice little donor badge next to your name.
I hear the birdies.
Yeah, you hear the birdies.
Sorry,
I get there. I don't know what they want at the moment, but yeah, they got louder all of a sudden. So, yes, my little birdies.
Are we done?
Just about. So, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys on our next podcast, which will be the bulletin update for February 6th.
Bye!
Bye!
Say bye, Cal.
Bye, Cal.